It's a beautiful day out there, or what? Showing God's truth, seasons follow seasons. Yeah, we have winter. We know spring's coming, right? So, we have any junior church today? Oh, yeah. Last week, we looked at how to be a proper Christian by God's design. By faith, receiving his imputed righteousness as we accept the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross as our only covering available for sin. By knowledge of him, receiving grace and peace. By divine power, while working for him, receiving great promises of glory and virtue. And by partaking in his divine nature, receiving the promises of his book, escaping the world system, and all the corruptions due to lust. Each time moving through this list, being lifted to a higher plane in your Christian walk. Jesus Christ has written our way to fit into his family. He's made us joint heir. He's made us a son of God. He's made us part owner of heaven. All this glorious call he's given us. With this unspeakable gift, it might behoove us to learn exactly what it means to be a child of God. Today, Peter looks at it from the other side. Last week, it was God looking at us. This week, it's us looking at God. He gives us the practical, down-to-earth working of these great and holy promises. Seeing how to attain under our resurrection and making our call and election sure. Verses 1 to 4 gives us the truth of our great calling. Seeing our adoption as sons of God by faith in the atoning power of the blood of Christ and remission of sins, and seeing our abundant life now and in our glorious future. Today, we see how to put that calling as joint heir of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords into practice. So turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 15. So for 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Dear Heavenly Father, we look at your word and stand amazed. We are amazed that you sent your Son to die on a cross for us. We are amazed that you have lifted us up to be joint heirs of Jesus Christ. You have lifted us up to be actual sons of God, adopted by the imputation of righteousness by Jesus Christ, by our faith in his blood for the atoning of our sins. And Lord, we stand amazed at all this and desire to learn more of you, desire to serve you in spirit, in truth, to glorify your holy name in this lost and dying dark world. Lord, let us look today at Peter's exhortations. Let us look today at how to serve others, as how to show others what a child of God is, the joy he has regardless of the situation here and the future we have. And let us, Lord, always stir each other up to that service, stir each other up to that excitement, realizing what we have in you and realizing there is nothing in this world that can compare and there's nothing in this world that can worry us as we see our glorious future. We ask all of us in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. Now, when I was hired by Delta Airlines, I went to Atlanta. Going to Atlanta, I signed a paper. Once I did that, I had all the benefits, all the title, all the honor, everything, the fellowship and future of being a Delta pilot. I had the same basic title as every other pilot. And yet, I was absolutely worthless to Delta Airlines at the time. I'd never seen a 727 cockpit. I had never carried a passenger commercially. I had never worked under the supervision of another captain. I had never worked under a system overseen by the FAA. On July 24th, 1989, I had the same title as every other pilot. I had peace knowing my future was set. Studying, peace was multiplied as I learned my job. I received faithful promises from my boss, showing I had a career that would allow me to pay the bills and keep my family safe, keep my family eating. Eating is always good, as I tell the co-pilots. Now, this is very similar to what we saw in verses 1 to 4 in a far more important way. Upon accepting Christ's death as our death and his blood shed for the remission of sins, we are of like precious faith with Peter himself and every other Christian, every other apostle, every other saint in the Bible, with all the benefits, future, and fellowship with them as his child. With all this, we didn't understand the gospel. We had never worked for Christ. We never lived as a living spirit under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. As we studied, we had grace and peace multiplied by the knowledge of our King, seeing the great and precious promises he gave us, being called into his glory and his virtue. Abiding in Christ, he now abides in us, and we receive his exceeding great and precious promises, escaping the corruption in the world through lust, is what it said. Well, today, once again, Peter gives us the practical side of what we must do to be successful in God's call. We see our initial training, mastering our calling in God's system. We see our continuing training, putting our focus back on Jesus and keeping us in such a way that we can serve him in spirit, in truth, and in joy. And we see our upgrade training, learning to become captains of our calling and able to lead others into those same great and precious promises. So our initial training. Once again, starting at Delta Airlines, I had to learn step by step by step. I couldn't get the whole thing at once. I had to build everything up. Studying hard, I had excitement and a commitment. To my commitment, I added aircraft systems. The aircraft systems, flight characteristics. The flight characteristics, flying procedures. The flying procedures, emergency procedures. To emergency procedures, crew coordination. To crew coordination, government policies. To government policies, company policies. Only by mastering each one of these allowed me to produce fruit for Delta Airlines and them rewarding me with a paycheck. We see, as we look at, and every one of you could say the same thing in your jobs. Every one of you could say the same thing you had to learn step by step. We see here how Peter now lays out in a practical sense how to become a child of God, an employee of your calling. Because that's what we are. We are ambassadors to God. So with a step-by-step in every one of our jobs that we see how he does the same thing for us. We obtain the like precious faith. We must now excite and learn his call to advance in grace and holiness. We must have the skills required in a child of God. Now, your calls are not the same as my calls. My calls are not the same as your calls. Just as a pilot of a 727 is not the same thing as someone who dispatches things like that in an airline. In any one of your jobs, each one of you have a different position that all are required to make whatever you do successful. But you must know God's ways in God's kingdom to produce acceptable fruit for God. Now, to become the pilot of your calling, you need to master your initial training step by step. Peter said, "The great gift of God, you must give diligence to establish your call." Now, when he says adding here, it means addition with energy. It means taking each step, mastering each step, saying, "I got this. Now I'm going to move forward." And having joy that God has shown you how to do exactly this thing and show you that you have use in his system. We see here the skills that must be added to our faith. First of all, virtue. Virtue is moral excellence and goodness of character, moral strength, and moral courage. Always choosing the excellent way despite costs. Now, the excellent way, you may not know, understand it, but as you understand it and you realize you were wrong before, you change. That's virtuous. That's a good thing. I know much more now than I did when I first got saved. At least I certainly hope I do. It's the same with every one of you. As you grow, you learn more. As you learn more, you realize, you know, that thing I was doing before, that wasn't right, but I'm going to change. Because you have virtue. You realize that I need to choose the excellent way, even if my family doesn't understand. Because now I have understanding that God has given me. We stand firm with the promise of Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. As we just sang today, I shall not be moved. I see God's truth. My family thinks I'm nuts. She thinks I'm nuts anyway, but that's beside the point. Family thinks I'm nuts. My friends don't understand me. The job I might lose because I don't want to follow the world's ways, but I shall not be moved. That's what virtue is. If you don't have the virtue, everything else gets shaken. So, to virtue, you add knowledge. Practical intelligence and insights. Knowing what to do in every situation by his word. In my job, going down, I put the power. I'm running down the runway. Passing 100 knots, my right engine falls off. What do? I have one of two choices. I can either continue the takeoff or I can abort the takeoff. One of those will make it so that I can bring it around and everyone will live. One of those will kill us. And I have to know that fast which one to do. Well, I have the training to do that. I know what speed I have to do, which position. It's the same thing in our walk. When you face a situation, when you face a temptation, you have to know the answer before you get there, because that gives you the power to remove yourself from that temptation. You have to know what scripture to go to in the back of your mind, what thought process. That is what knowledge gives you. Without that knowledge, you will fall, because Satan is very good at trapping you with certain temptations. Facing enemies of lust, that knowledge gives us the victory, that you already know how to handle those problems. So, to knowledge, you add temperance. That's to master and control the body or flesh with all of its lusts, self-control or mastery of your desires. That's what it means. Doing right to glorify God, even if it costs in this life. To temperance, you add patience. Now turn to James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Notice you had to have all these things before you got the patience. We weren't ready for it right on the calling. Now, how many two-year-olds have patience? Now, you're a babe in Christ when you're first born again. You're a babe in Christ. You become a two-year-old. You don't have any patience. It takes a while to get that. So, to add these other things, now you add patience. And where do you get patience? James chapter 1, starting at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You wait on God. You're facing something, you wait on God. You allow him to work through you. You allow him to know that whatever I'm going through, he knows the end. He knows the end from the beginning. I don't, but he does. If I can rely on him and have that patience, he will bring me through any trial, and I will have more faith and once again be able to build up. So, suffering, we learn of God, become patient in our flesh, glorifying Jesus Christ, and waiting on God to perfect us in the flesh to sanctify us in the Spirit. Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. The Spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. Flesh is very weak, but it's very strong. It overpowers the Spirit all the time. We're all two-year-olds in a way. We want what we want when we want it. These skills help us to get beyond that. So to add patience, you add godliness, which is true piety, walking with Christ as you serve and glorify Jesus Christ, focusing on the Spirit, which is life, and mortifying the deeds of the flesh, which is death. Now, with all these mastered, then you can get to the next one. Add to this brotherly love. Brotherly love is tender affection for other Christians. Now, think about this. We're supposed to have brotherly love for each Christian. Why? We all have a common Father. Every one of us has God as our Heavenly Father. That means we are true brothers and sisters under Jesus Christ. We are true joint heirs one of another. We should act like it if we're family. How many churches tend to act like it? Very dysfunctional families in a lot of those churches. So as he is love, let us show the love of our Father and love all the brethren, encouraging each other to build each other up that the family may be strong, supporting each other with our calls as we work to glorify our common Heavenly Father. And remembering Romans 12:10, be kind and affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. How many of us prefer one another? It's not easy to do. That's why it's built on all these other skills. We show the world what a true Christian is and what love looks like. If we look exactly like the world, why would anyone walk through those doors? We need to show them there's something better in being a Christian, something different, the brotherly love that we show each other. So, once we add brotherly love, we know how to love each other, then we can show charity, which is agape love in action. Putting into action the divine nature of Christ, which he graciously gave us, and it's only available through Jesus Christ. The world does not have this. The world cannot have this. The world only works in the flesh. Agape love is love in the spirit. It's an unselfish love that the world can't comprehend, even to the extent we love our enemies, and we pray for enemies, and we hope our enemies are blessed. World do that much? World wants the enemies torn down. The world wants the enemy attacked. We want to see them blessed. Why? So they can get saved. Because we were once enemies of Jesus Christ, and he gloriously saved us. And we see the ultimate call in 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, the modern people will say that charity is the wrong word. It should be love, which is not right. I can say I love my wife, and I do. But if I don't show that love, she doesn't feel it. Charity means putting that love in action, showing her by my actions, showing her by my thoughts, showing how I put her ahead of my desires. That's what charity means. So, if you learn all these things, if you do all these things, you will not be barren, you will not be unfruitful, because you are working the way God designed you to work. You will accomplish your call, you will glorify Jesus Christ, and you will produce fruit for him that you can present him at the Bema seat. Well, you'll then hear those great and wondrous words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." That's the word I want to hear. That's why I work for it here. We study to be a workman that need not be ashamed as we learn the attributes of being a son of our King. Now, how do we do this? What do we do to determine how to get these skills? What do we study? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. If you've been in this church too very long, you've heard these verses a few times. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, I want you to notice the very first word there. All. Don't ignore any of it. You need to master all of it. I haven't, but I work on it to try to get better at it. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You want to know how to serve your Heavenly Father? Study his instruction manual. You study his instruction manual, you'll know how to glorify him, you'll know what to do, and you'll know how to put those skills that we just talked about into practice. So, that's our initial training. That's getting the foundation. That's getting the skills to understand exactly how to put everything forward, how to produce fruit for Jesus Christ. Now you have your continuing training. Once again, in the world, looking at the world, I am a fully qualified Delta pilot. I'm considered an expert in my field. If I wasn't, they wouldn't have made me a captain. Yet every 9 months, I receive training and I receive a check ride. Every 2 years, a check pilot flies to me on a trip to make sure I'm following Delta procedures. FAA examiners every now and then sit in my jump seat, very, very comfortable there, sit in my jump seat looking over my shoulders to make sure that I'm doing things that are safe, that are acceptable, that are things that will not put people in danger. They ensure that I do not become complacent and I do not lose focus. Well, how does that apply to our Christian walk? Has anyone ever gotten complacent in a Christian walk? Is it possible to become complacent in a Christian walk? Yeah, I'll say that's guaranteed, because I have been. We can very easily lose our focus. We can very easily let the day-to-day operations of the church just become one other job, not realizing we are working for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not realizing there's a higher purpose in what we do. Just, I got a job to do, let's get it done, then I can go fishing or whatever. If I get caught up in daily challenges and trials in this life also, I can easily take my eyes off Jesus Christ. We forget that the reason we serve is to not accomplish some good work or even to solve some problem. Our purpose is to serve our Lord and Savior who went to the cross to purge us of our sins. We can forget that. That's why we're here. I'm here because I am a child of the King, because he went to the cross and he purged me of my sins. Once we get that focus, it becomes easier to do the things, easier to suffer the slings and arrows, easier to suffer the trials. But if we forget that, all the spiritual skills we obtain in the last section become worthless. We get frustrated in this world. Anyone ever been frustrated with the world? Don't raise your hand. I'll be talking about lying next week. So, if you're frustrated with the world, your focus is on the world. And you become blind to your spiritual riches. That's what he's talking about. You become blind. Doesn't say you lose your salvation, but it means you lose your way. You start worrying about the world's darkness rather than the spiritual light. You will forget you're purged from your sins, and you'll never be part of this frustrating world again. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Yeah, the frustrations happen all around you, but you're a child of the King. You're not part of this world. You're an ambassador of the King in this world. Now, we're going to have communion this afternoon before our business meeting. Jesus has given us one way of continuing training in this way. As he said in 1 Corinthians 1:26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." He's putting a reminder in front of us that we are purged from our own sin, old sins. He's putting a reminder in front of us of why we serve him. He's putting us a reminder in front of us that we are his joint heirs, that if we accepted that blood, the New Testament in that cup, we are children of the King, and we need to act like it, and we need to focus on it, and realize, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago, did you see what the Hubble telescope saw that scientists didn't? That's how big our God is. That's how wonderful our God is. That's how powerful our God is. Do you think he doesn't know what your problems are? Trust me, he does. Do you think he doesn't know how to get you through those trials? Trust me, he does. Not easy to see sometimes. We lose our focus of his light, come down to a darkness, we become blind, and we start worrying about it too much. And he'll do that on purpose to remind us of who he is. So, this continuing training makes your calling and election sure. Once again, not that you lose salvation, but you can lose focus. You can lose blessing. And we're looking at Jesus Christ. We feel joyful. When we come down the world, we start worrying about our bills. We start worrying about everything. Then we lose that joy. We go through the motions. We might look like we're doing a good works, but we don't have the abundant life that Jesus Christ intended. I've been there. Know what I'm talking about. I'm preaching to myself today, not you guys. You're just getting a benefit of my chewing myself out. So, keep your focus on Jesus Christ. Remember, he has saved you and will empower you in your call and will be with you always, even unto the end of the world, he says in his Great Commission in Acts. If you do that, you will never fall. You'll be found faithful in a few things and given entrance into the everlasting kingdom, where you'll be made ruler over many things as you enter into the joy of the Lord. So, that's a continuing training. Well, the whole purpose of these things is to have upgrade training, to have mature people that can then bring others along. Once again, when I was hired at Delta Airlines, I was worthless at Delta Airlines. But they didn't hire me to be someone who sat there in a classroom. They hired me to be a captain. That's what the intention was. Same thing in your Christian walk. You are saved to glorify your Heavenly Father. You are saved to produce fruit for him. You are saved to learn how to do that and get out there and work and make it so that when you come to the Bema seat, you can present fruit to him, show him that you were faithful, showing that you understood what that was all about, and that you can serve him forevermore in absolute joy. So as you upgrade, as you master your call and continue to study to keep focus, you mature and stay in the light, and you'll see that your labors are not in vain. You'll remember you serve as he purged you from your sins. Your calling and election, once again, are absolutely certain, as you learn to rely and wait on Jesus Christ, and you will never fall. And when you fall, because we will lose focus every now and then, you will know from the past that you can get back up again and you can serve him, because that's what he intends you to do. Mature, you lose your experience to produce fruit and lead and help others. Encouraging each other and seeing those less mature grow and produce fruit, which glorifies Jesus Christ even more. Upgrading a captain, I run checklists every flight to ensure things are done correctly and safely. I know what those checklists say. I have them memorized. Why do I need to read them? I need to make sure that I put in remembrance those things. I don't miss a certain part. That's what he was talking about. He's basically saying, I'm going to nag you until I die. It's pretty much what the short version of that was. I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things you already know. Why? We're forgetful. We have short memories. Just like good communion. Anyone here not know that Jesus Christ died on the cross? Anyone here not know that his broken body was broken for you, that by his stripes you were healed? Anyone not know that his shed blood is what allows you to be saved by acceptance of that? We all know that. And yet we do communion often so that we can remember. Why? Once again, we have short memories. It puts our focus back on the light, takes us away from the darkness, that we can have the joy in that service. And we realize, you know what? The creator of all that things we saw in the Hubble telescope, the creator of all the stars out there, he died for me. By dying for me, it puts it that he made all that for me. That's unbelievable. That's unfathomable. And yet it gives us the joy of understanding that we can serve him and that he can empower us to do whatever he asks us to do. And there's nothing we can refuse after what he did for us. So when the problems the world faces, we remind ourselves, especially those less mature, that Jesus has overcome the world. No? Once again, look at the newspaper. It gets frustrating. I don't look at the newspaper every day because it frustrates me too much. But you don't look at the newspaper. You start looking outside. You start looking back in the light. You don't care about it anymore. This world is disappearing, folks. It's going to be gone, I think, pretty soon, as a matter of fact. And if that happens, he's going to rule in righteousness, and we're going to be with him. Would it be better to have some faith in that? Like I say, the snow out there. He told Noah, season would follow season until he returned. We're seeing prophecy played out right here just with a snowstorm. We're seeing the glory of God just with this snowstorm out there. I'm going to see a lot of it as I drive to New York, but that's a different story. So, we see all that, and we can trust him. He left us his word. That's why 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture. He shows us exactly how to live for him. We need to do that. Now, as pastor, it's my job to teach the gospel. And with Peter, putting in Berea, always in remembrance of these things, that we may know them and be established in this present truth. Regardless of what the United States thinks, friends, family members, or the world that doesn't really want to hear it. We give his words, we know they will not return void, and God will use them to accomplish his purpose and give us glory for it. I mean, it's the easiest thing on earth. He gives us a calling. He empowers us in the calling. He gives us the word to accomplish the calling. We go out and obey him. He produces fruit for us and gives us credit for it. What could be better than that? And yet we refuse because Satan wants us to put the focus on the darkness rather than his light. So, my job is to build others up. Your job is to build each other up in a church that we can unify each other under our common Heavenly Father. As we mature, become mature Christians, we encourage each other. And when we leave this tabernacle, others following us will glorify Jesus Christ. And this building here, the people in it will continue to produce fruit for Jesus Christ because we train those following us. That is what we're supposed to do. I stand on the shoulders of other Christians in the past. Hopefully, someone will stand on my shoulders one of these days, take this job over if Christ tarries, and this church will continue to grow, glorifying Jesus Christ. We have to be the ones to train them to do that. If we don't train them, who's going to? The world will try. Oh, the world will train them very well. It won't be in a spiritual sense. So, if we do not accomplish what Peter's calling for, we could fall into the false gospel Paul warned us about in his epistles. Ephesians 4:9 says, but not after ye have known God, or rather known of God, how turn ye again in the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. Mature Christians have liberty as adults in Christ. Let us keep this focus, and not turn back to the worldly, childish lust of darkness. We need to stay in the light. We need to be with Peter, looking at the light, living in the light, focusing on the light, and reminding each other that light's still there. Once again, it's easy to look in the darkness. Been there many times. Again, I know what I'm talking about. So when we get into that darkness, it helps to have other people point us to that light, point us to Jesus Christ, point us. You know, you're a child of God. What are you worried about what's going on in the world today? You're a child of the King. He's going to have victory. He's going to win, and you're going to live with him forever. Don't worry about what's going on here. Just follow him, and we know exactly what's going to happen. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. I can't tell you the time, but I can tell you exactly what's going to happen because it's already happened in the past. We can trust his word. So, the Galatians had lost focus. They started listening to false teachers. Paul told them things they already knew to bring them back to the truth of the gospel, which is exactly what Peter's talking about here. He's telling us, I'm telling you things that you already know. He said that in verse 14. He said, I'm telling you things you already know. Why? To remind you. So you can remember, who are you serving? Why are you serving him? You're purged from your old sins. Don't worry about them. Worry about serving him in spirit and truth. So in this first chapter, in this first chapter of 2 Peter, we see God calling us to salvation and service. Last week, and then how to serve him effectively this week. In the next weeks, we'll see how to make our sure word of prophecy put in action and make sure our calling and election is sure. Foundation here is set. God has sent his son to give us peace, to give us his divine nature, and to allow us to escape the corruption in the world through lust. That's a lifelong process. I'm not there yet. Hopefully I'm getting closer. This week we saw how to learn and master our new life as we develop and perfect godly virtues, perfecting each and building each other up. Now, once again, it's a step-by-step process. You don't start out with agape love. You can't do it. You have to build each one up. And every now and then, you're going to forget those things. You're going to forget part of your checklist. You need to go back and study to make sure all those with continuing training stay sure, that you can show that agape love. You can show that brotherly love. Those are the capstones. They aren't separate. They have to be built on the other ones. So we focus on Christ. We live in his light and allow him to work through us for his glory as we show his love to a lost and dying world. Not going back to the world's dark blinders. We were purged from the sin of that darkness. Don't go back there. Don't worry about it. You know, you do your best you can. Again, you're stepping each one. You start out as a babe in Christ. You get up to a two-year-old. Two-year-olds are selfish. They don't understand things. Well, as you do that, you try to get as best you can. If you realize you're wrong, praise God. You just got some more light. Don't worry about it and go back to worry about it. Instead, move forward. Praise God for that light and then put that behind you and then help others with those same issues. Because every one of us are born in the flesh. Every one of us has the same weaknesses in different ways. Every one of us need encouragement from each other. Realizing we are purged from our old sins. Don't worry about them. Move forward instead. So that we have the mind of Christ, we serve in joy, that God took our penalty that our holy God demanded. We desire to produce fruit for him, bring others to him for salvation, and showing the world his great power, his great love, and will be eventually ushered into his presence to live with him forevermore. As we mature, we realize it is God that must be glorified, not us. We walk around in a very dark world. If we do not keep our focus on Jesus, we will go blind in the world's darkness. If we try to do it on our own, we're doing it in darkness. If we try to do it on our own, we're blind and we forget we're purged from our sins, and he's the one that empowers us, which is why we must continue to encourage each other in these truths. It's why it's critical for me to continue to nag you about his truths, to remind you about his truths. You're saying, I already know this stuff. What are you talking about? Well, we're having communion this afternoon. We're looking at truths that are absolutely known by everybody here, but it helps us to put our focus back where it belongs, on his glorious light and away from the world's darkness. So, once again, you know them. It's easy to use focus. Count on me to continue to nag you about these things until Christ returns or until Christ has me leave this tabernacle and calls me home. So, until Jesus calls every one of us home, let's build each other up in his truths, in his glorious light. Keeping our focus on him in his light, working to continue on the virtues that he has given us, telling others to stir them up in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Let us bask in his light. Let us partake in his divine nature. Let us remember we are purged from our old sins, and let us develop the skills required to be successful in our new life. Let us stir each other up in his righteousness, and let us pray that in Berea and your families, you will continue and we will continue to glorify Jesus Christ. And after you leave this tabernacle, the people that you have encouraged will move forward and we will see Jesus Christ continue, because we will meet them again. We will see them again. And they will either thank us or ask them, what were you thinking? One or the other. I want to be thanked for encouraging others in Jesus Christ. Now, if you've never accepted this free gift, become a new hire today. Walk in. That contract's already signed. It is signed in his blood. Accept that contract. Accept today that he died for your sins. He purged those sins from you if you accept it in faith as the only way to have your sins remitted. Once you've done that, you are a son of God. Learn your life as a son of God. Once mature, accept the call to upgrade the captain of your calling and teach others to do the same, teaching them how to then mature, that the whole church may be then glorified, the whole church may glorify Jesus Christ, and the whole church may bask in the glory of his light. So, with that, let's turn to hymn 490 and sing what exactly we need to do. We need to consecrate our lives to that glorious light, to Jesus Christ. Take my life and let it be. We soon will leave the tabernacle of these bodies. We soon will put the physical world behind us and face eternity. I pray that your eternity is set. I pray that your eternity is based on the blood of Christ shed for your sins, and that you will face Jesus Christ at the Bema seat, where you'll be judged on what you did with that grace. He's given you exactly how to do it. He's shown you the pattern. Will you follow that pattern? Will you take that virtue, add knowledge, and go all the way to showing agape love to others? You do so, you'll hear those great and wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter now in the joy of the Lord." But you have to be saved first. You have to sign that contract written in Christ's blood. If you've never done that or don't understand what I'm talking about, please come while we're praying, and I'll show you exactly how it's done. It's not my way. There are no Baptists in heaven. None. There are only believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible shows exactly how to do that. So come and we'll show you in the Bible exactly how to be saved. It's very simple. You have to realize you don't deserve it. You have to realize that he's the one who died, and you have to accept that blood. And as we go to prayer, ask God to show you how to accomplish your call. What is your call? What is it he wants you to do? And what do you need to do to dedicate yourself to that? And then do so. And after a couple of after a verse that Rich plays, I'll close this in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we stand amazed that you even consider us. We stand amazed that as we rebelled against your love, we rebelled against your creation, we rebelled against a holy and mighty God, that you were not satisfied with that, and you sent your Son to take the righteous penalty that needs to be paid for sin. And Lord, you did so that you could redeem man who is absolutely nothing in all your creation. Who is man you'd consider him? But Lord, you did. And Lord, we stand amazed at that, and we desire to learn how to serve you. You've adopted us as sons and daughters of the Most High God, as joint heirs of Jesus Christ, as princes of your mighty kingdom. Lord, let us learn how to fit into that kingdom. Let us learn how to show the love that you've shown us to others. Let us learn how to be effective ambassadors of Jesus Christ, that we may glorify your holy name in this world and in for all eternity. Let us bask in your light and remove ourselves from the darkness that is in this world. And let us remember that we have been purged from our sins, that we can move forward in power because you are the one that empowers us. If you give us a calling, Lord, our calling is sure. Our election is sure because you've promised it in your word. Let us take your word, Lord, move out, and know that we'll not return void, and it will accomplish what you've called us to do. And Lord, as we get ready to eat, allow us to enjoy the fruits of your bounty. Allow us to be blessed by the foods you've given us and bless the people who prepared it for us. And let us have decisions in this business meeting that will glorify your holy name. We ask it all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.